Jack Shepherd, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia. Jack Shepherd, 4 March 1702 to 16 November 1724, was a notorious English robber, burglar, and thief of early 18th century London. Born into a poor family, he was apprenticed as a carpenter, but took to theft and burglary in 1723. With little more than a year of his training to complete. He was arrested and imprisoned 5 times in 1724, but escaped 4 times, making him a notorious public figure and wildly popular with the poorer classes. Ultimately, he was caught, convicted, and hanged at Tyburn, ending his brief criminal career after less than 2 years. The inability of the notorious thief-taker general, Jonathan Wild, to control Shepherd, and injuries suffered by Wild at the hand of Shepherd's colleague, Joseph Blueskin Blake, led to Wild's downfall. Shepherd was as renowned for his attempts to escape imprisonment as he was for his crimes. An autobiographical narrative thought to have been ghostwritten by Daniel Defoe was sold as his execution, quickly followed by popular plays. The character of Macheath in John Gay's The Beggar's Opera, 1728, was based on Shepherd, keeping him in the limelight for over 100 years. He returned to the public consciousness in around 1840, when William Harrison Ainsworth wrote a novel entitled Jack Shepherd, with illustrations by George Cruikshank. The popularity of his tale and the fear that others would be drawn to emulate his behavior led the authorities to refuse to license any plays in London with Jack Shepherd in the title for 40 years. Early life. Shepherd was born in White's Row in London's Spitalfields during the first 2 decades of the 18th century. Spitalfields was notorious for the presence of highwaymen and for being tremendously economically depressed area, and so it is clear that his family was impoverished. He was baptized on 5 March, the day after he was born, at St. Dunstan's, Stepney, suggesting a fear of infant mortality by his parents, perhaps because the newborn was weak or sickly. His parents named him after an older brother, John, who had died before his birth. In life, he was better known as Jack, or even Gentleman Jack, or Jack the Lad. He had a second brother, Thomas, and a younger sister, Mary. Their father, a carpenter, died while Shepherd was young, and his sister died 2 years later. Unable to support her family without her husband's income, Jack's mother sent him to Garrett's, or Mr. Garrett's school, a workhouse near St. Helen's, Bishopsgate, when he was 6 years old. Shepherd was sent out as a parish apprentice to a cane chair maker, taking a settlement of 20 shillings. But his new master soon died. He was sent out to a second cane chair maker, but Shepherd was treated badly. Finally, when Shepherd was 10, he went to work as a shop boy for William Kneebone, a wool draper with a shop on the Strand. Shepherd's mother had been working for Kneebone since her husband's death. Kneebone taught Shepherd to read and write, and apprenticed him to a carpenter, Owen Wood, in White Street, off Drury Lane in Covent Garden. Shepherd signed his 7-year indenture on 2 April 1717. By 1722, Shepherd was showing great promise as a carpenter. Aged 20, he was a small man, only 5'4", or 1.63 meters, and lightly built, but deceptively strong. He had a pale face with large dark eyes, a wide mouth, and a quick smile. Despite a slight stutter, his wit made him popular in the taverns of Drury Lane. He served 5 unblemished years of his apprenticeship, but then began to be led into crime. Joseph Hain, a button molder, who owned a shop nearby, also ran a tavern named the Black Lion off Drury Lane, which he encouraged the local apprentices to frequent. The Black Lion was visited by criminals such as Joseph Blueskin Blake, Shepherd's future partner in crime, and self-proclaimed thief-taker general Jonathan Wild, secretly the linchpin of a criminal empire across London, and later Shepherd's implacable enemy. According to Shepherd's autobiography, he had been an innocent until going to Haynes' tavern, but there began an attachment to strong drink and the affections of Elizabeth Leon, a prostitute also known as Edgeworth Bess or Edgeworth Bess, from her place of birth at Edgeworth in Middlesex. In his history, Defoe records that Bess was a main lodestone in attracting of him up to this eminence of guilt. Such, Shepherd claimed, was the resource of his later ruin. Peter Linbaugh offers a different view, that Shepherd's sudden transformation was a liberation from the dull drudgery of indentured labor, and that he progressed from pious servitude to self-confident rebellion and leveling. Criminal career. Shepherd threw himself into a hedonistic whirl of drinking and whoring. Inevitably, his carpentry suffered, and he became disobedient to his master. With Leon's encouragement, Shepherd took to crime in order to complement his legitimate wages. His first recorded theft was in spring 1723, when he engaged in petty shoplifting, stealing 2 silver spoons while on an errand for his master to Rummer Tavern in Charing Cross. Shepherd's misdeeds went undetected, and he moved on to larger crimes, often stealing goods from the houses where he was working. Finally, he quit the employ of his master on 2 August 1723, with less than 2 years of his apprenticeship left, although he continued to work as a journeyman carpenter. He was not suspected of the crimes, and progressed to burglary, falling in with criminals in Jonathan Wild's gangs. He moved to Fulham, living as man and wife with Leon at Parsons Green, before moving to Piccadilly. When Leon was arrested and imprisoned at St. Giles Roundhouse, the Beadle, a Mr. Brown refused to let Shepherd visit, so he broke in and took her away. Arrested and escaped twice. Shepherd was first arrested after a burglary he committed with his brother Tom and his mistress Leon in Clare Market on 5 February 1722. Tom, also a carpenter, had already been convicted once for stealing tools from his master the previous autumn and burned in the hand. Tom was arrested again on 24 April 1724. Afraid that he would be hanged this time, Tom informed on Jack, and a warrant was issued for Jack's arrest. Jonathan Wild was aware of Shepherd's thefts, as Shepherd had fenced some stolen goods through some of Wild's men, William Field. Wild asked another of his men, James Sykes, known as Hell in Fury, to challenge Shepherd to a game of skittles at Redgate's public house near Seven Dials. Sykes betrayed Shepherd to Mr. Price, a constable from the parish of St. Giles, to gather the usual £40 reward for giving information leading to the conviction of a felon. The magistrate, Justice Perry, had Shepherd imprisoned overnight on the top floor of St. Giles Roundhouse, pending further questioning, but Shepherd escaped within 3 hours by breaking through the timber ceiling and lowering himself to the ground with a rope fashioned from bedclothes. Still wearing irons, Shepherd coolly joined the crowd that had been attracted by the sounds of him breaking out. He distracted their attention by pointing to the shadows on the roof and shouting that he could see the escapee, and then swiftly departed. On 19 May 1724, Shepherd was arrested for a second time, caught in the act of picking a pocket in Leicester Fields, near present-day Leicester Square. He was detained overnight in St. Anne's Roundhouse in Soho, and visited there the next day by Leon. She was recognized as his wife and locked in a cell with him. They appeared before Justice Walters, who sent them to the new prison in Clerkenwell, but they escaped from their cell, known as the Newgate Ward, within a matter of days. By 25 May, Whitsun Monday, Shepherd and Leon had filed through their manacles. They removed a bar from the window and used their knotted bedclothes to descend to the ground level. Finding themselves in the yard of the neighboring Bridewell, they clambered over the 22-foot-high, 6.7-meter prison gate to freedom. This feat was widely publicized, not least because Shepherd was only a small man, and Leon was a large, buxom woman. Legacy. There was a spectacular public reaction to Shepherd's deeds. He was even cited favorably as an example in newspapers, pamphlets, broadsheets, and ballads. Were all devoted to his amazing exploits, and his story was adapted for the stage almost immediately. Harlequin Shepherd, a pantomime by one John Thurmond, subtitled A Night Scene in Grotesque Characters, opened at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, on Saturday, 28 November, only 2 weeks after Shepherd's hanging. In a famous contemporary sermon, a London preacher drew on Shepherd's popular escapes as a way of holding his congregation's attention. Let me exhort ye, then, to open the locks of your hearts with the nails of repentance. Burst asunder the fetters of your beloved lusts. Mount the chimney of hope. Take from thence the bar of good resolution. Break through the stone wall of despair. The account of his life remained well known through the Newgate Calendar, and a three-act farce was published but never produced, but mixed with songs it became the Quaker's Opera, later performed at Bartholomew Fair. An imagined dialogue between Jack Shepherd and Julius Caesar was published in the British Journal on 4 December 1724, in which Shepherd favorably compares his virtues and exploits to those of Caesar. Perhaps the most prominent play based on Shepherd's life is John Gay's The Beggar's Opera, 1728. Shepherd was the inspiration for the figure of Macheath, his nemesis. Peachum is based on Jonathan Wilde. The play was spectacularly popular, restoring the fortune that Gay had lost in the South Sea Bubble, and was produced regularly for over 100 years. An unperformed but published play, The Prison Breaker, was turned into the Quaker's Opera, in imitation of the Beggar's Opera, and performed at Bartholomew Fair in 1725 and 1728. 2 centuries later, the Beggar's Opera was the basis for the Threepenny Opera of Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill in 1928. Shepherd's tale may have been an inspiration for William Hogarth's 1747 series of 12 engravings, Industry and Idleness, which shows the parallel descent of an apprentice, Tom Idle, into crime and eventually to the gallows, beside the rise of his fellow apprentice, Francis Goodchild, who marries his master's daughter and takes over his business, becoming wealthy as a result, eventually emulating Dick Whittington to become Lord Mayor of London. Shepherd's Tale was revived in the first half of the 19th century. A melodrama, Jack Shepherd, The Housebreaker, or London in 1724 by W.T. Moncrief, was published in 1825. More successful was the William Harrison Ainsworth's third novel entitled Jack Shepherd, which was originally published in Bentley's Miscellany from January 1839 with illustrations by George Cruikshank, overlapping with the final episodes of Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist. An archetypal Newgate novel, it generally remains close to the facts of Shepherd's life. Like Hogarth's Prince, the novel pairs the descent of the idle apprentice into crime with the rise of a typical melodramatic dramatic character, tames Daryl, a foundling of an aristocratic birth who defeats his evil uncle to recover his fortune. Cruikshank's images perfectly complemented Ainsworth's tale. Thackeray wrote that Mr. Cruikshank really created the tale, and that Mr. Ainsworth, as it were, only put words to it. The novel quickly became very popular. It was published in book form later that year, before the serialized version was completed, and even outsold early editions of Oliver Twist. Ainsworth's novel was adapted into a successful play by John Buckstone in October 1839 at the Adelphi Theatre, starring, strangely enough, Mary Ann Keeley. Indeed, it seems likely that Cruikshank's illustrations were deliberately created in a form that were informed by and would be easy to repeat as tableau on stage. It has been described as the exemplary climax of the pictorial novel dramatized pictorially. The story generated a form of cultural mania, embellished by pamphlets, prints, cartoons, plays, and souvenirs, not repeated until George Du Maurier's Trilby in 1895. By early 1840, a cant song from Buckstone's play, Nix My Dolly, Pals Fake Away, was reported to be deafening us in the streets. Public alarm at the possibility that young people would emulate Shepherd's behavior led the Lord Chamberlain to ban, at least in London, the licensing of any plays with Jack Shepherd in the title for 40 years. The fear may not have been entirely unfounded. Corvoisier, the valet of Lord William Russell, claimed in one of his several confessions that the book had inspired him to murder his master. Frank and Jesse James wrote letters to the Kansas City Star, signed Jack Shepherd. Nevertheless, a number of burlesques of the story were written after the ban was lifted, including a popular Gaiety Theatre London piece called Little Jack Shepherd, 1885 to 1886, by Henry Pottinger Stevens and W. Yardley, with music by Meyer Lutz and others. The Shepherd story has been revived several times in the 20th century, including two silent movies, The Hairbreadth Escape of Jack Shepherd, 1900, and Jack Shepherd, 1923, a book, The Road to Tyburn by Christopher Hibbert, 1957, a British costume drama, Where's Jack, directed by James Clavell, with Tommy Steele in the title role, 1969, an unrealized film project of Film 4 Productions in 2000, Jack Shepherd and Jonathan Wild, for which Benjamin Ross, who would have been director, co-wrote the screenplay with John Preston, with Tobey Maguire and Harley Keitel slated for the main parts, a 2002 television drama, Invitation to a Hanging, and a series of novels by Neal Stephenson, collectively known as The Baroque Cycle, 2003-2004, in which the character Jack Shafto was partly inspired by events from the life of Jack Shepherd. Bram Stoker references Jack Shepherd and Dracula when referring to the patient Reinfeld. He is safe now, at any rate. Jack Shepherd himself couldn't get free from the strait waistcoat that keeps him restrained, and he's chained to the wall in the padded room. The reasons for the lasting legacy of Jack Shepherd's exploits in the popular imagination have been addressed by Peter Linebaugh, who suggests that Shepherd's legend was rooted in the prospect of excarceration, of escape from what Michael Foucault in Folie et Derision called the Grand Renfermement, Great Confinement, in which unreasonable members of the population were locked away and institutionalized. The laws leveled at Shepherd and similar working-class criminals were a means of disciplining a potentially rebellious multitude and to accepting increasingly harsh property laws. A 19th-century view on the Jack Shepherd phenomenon was offered by Charles Mackay in Memoirs of Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Whether it be that the multitude, feeling the pangs of poverty, sympathized with the daring and ingenious depredators who take away the rich man's superfluity, or whether it be the interest that mankind in general feel for the records of perilous adventure, it is certain that the populace of all countries look with admiration upon great and successful thieves. Extracts copied February 26, 2011 and read March 7, 2011. Text is available under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 Unported License. I'm Stephen Story. That's STEVEN STARRY. Thank you for listening.